everybody. I'm Storm Team 2 Chief Meteorologist Rob Fowler. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Get to Know. And this is a really special edition of Get to Know because you've gotten to know this gentleman here, right here on News 2. But we have some big breaking news to talk about with David Dixon, our meteorologist at Storm Team 2. And he's winding down his career here at Channel 2 in Charleston, but he's got great things ahead of him. And first, David, I just want to thank you for the last 3 years and what you've meant to our Storm Team and all the great things you've contributed to this community.
Absolutely, Robin. Thank you, one, for giving me the opportunity. We were talking about 3 years ago. It started with just a conversation and phone call. It was supposed to take, five or so minutes, turned out to be half an hour. And then a week later, I was here in Charleston.
So one thing that people may or may not know about our business is people come and people go, and you get used to somebody on TV, and then all of a sudden they've moved on, and sometimes you're like, where did that person go? And you have some great opportunities ahead of you, not necessarily in TV, but still in the state of South Carolina.
Absolutely. I'm not really traveling too far, just really up the road, up 26 to Columbia, where I'm going to be working for the State Museum there, doing a lot of cool stuff, kind of explaining science, explaining the Palmetto State's history, and hopefully continuing to inspire the next generation of STEM throughout South Carolina, which was really something I was really happy to do here with Moment of Science, our weather specials, and just really within our forecast as well.
We're going to talk about that in more detail in a moment, but we know where you're going, but where have you been? Tell us about David Dixon growing up and your interest in weather and meteorology and how that all came to be.
Yeah, so I grew up in Arkansas, which if you've taken any class growing up, they talk about Tornado Alley. It's smack dab right in the middle of it. In fact, funnily enough, we were talking amongst the newsroom and a lot of people couldn't locate Arkansas on a map.
Which surprised me. But
yeah, there's a guy in the middle of the country. He has a hat, he has a face, he has a body and pants, and then a foot made of Louisiana. He's on top of Louisiana. That's where Arkansas is. But essentially, I grew up with weather being a huge part of life here in the Lowcountry, in South Carolina, Carolinas in general. You know, we have hurricanes. We just have tornadoes. And honestly, Rob, I don't know about you. I think tornadoes are a little bit more frightening because they can form just like that, and you don't have too much preparation. And so unlike here, where a lot of people tune in to the forecast and tune in to the meteorologists the days leading up to the event, in Arkansas and a lot of places out west, they tune in to those meteorologists the day of, watching them and really focusing in on both as a source of not entertainment, but rather vital information to keep you and your family safe. And I always looked up to them because I knew I wanted to do something like that. The weather at first frightened me, like it has a lot of people. And that's why in the past couple of years, I've talked to people who said, the weather is frightening and I have this weather anxiety. I fully identify with that, but there's a reason there is that weather anxiety. It's the fear of the unknown, fear of losing stuff. And when you get past that, it can form into a lifelong career in weather, exactly where I have ended up.
So we all have that moment, or maybe moments. You talk generally about tornadoes. Was there one specific tornado that you remember?
You know, I can't really remember. It was just really a sense of every spring, every other weekend, the tornado sirens are going to be going off. We're going to have to go down into the basement. We're going to have the weather radio with us, and we're going to have to tune in. Our house never personally got hit, but you know, there was a couple of close calls. Can't really remember any specific outbreak, but because it was just generally, all right, it's severe weather season, just like it's hurricane season, it's time to pay attention. From there, went to NC State up in Raleigh, go Wolfpack.
Good plug there.
It took majority of my time as a student and alumni to actually beat Clemson. This was the first year we actually saw that. NC State and Raleigh was a great school and everything. From there, went out to Missouri for my first job. And as you said, people move on. I stayed there for 6 months, went up to our sister station here in Nexstar, our ownership company up in Maryland, where I spent 2 years there, proposed to my current wife up there as well, and then moved down here in December of 2018.
And so you became part of our storm team and immediately made an impact on all of us in the weather department, but also in the news department too, and eventually the community once people really got to know David Dixon. But then you kind of adopted something besides the day-to-day weather that really took off, and all of us were in awe of A Moment of Science. Tell us how that all started.
So A Moment of Science actually began when I came in here where, you know, I was hired to do the weekend weather, but then what do I do during the week? I do a little bit of traffic, I cover for your guys' shifts a little bit, and then, you know, we wanted something more. And so I was essentially told, find something to do. And so I came up with this idea of A Moment of Science. I first came up, I think, with the name and then the idea behind it. And the idea is explain science for the low country and explain how science is being used in unexpected ways right here in our backyard. Because science, as I have mentioned many times, is not out of reach to anyone. It's in our cooking. It's in our backyard. It's in every facet of life, even though it may not look like it, and it's accessible to everyone. Whether it was, I'm trying to go back, we have like chocolate, we have cheese just in the kitchen, and then we have weather balloons and everything and in between. So over the past 2.5 years, really, well, over 2.5 years, 125 individual Moment of Science segments and 3 half-hour Moment of Science specials.
So I know you put a poll out on your Facebook page, which we shared, but it was hard to look back at so many and say, can you pick out one favorite? Can you pick out maybe a couple of favorites? I know mine, and you and I have talked about this, the meeting tree, because that was a big tree that was cut down over in Kanehoy off what Clements Ferry Road.
Exactly.
And it's weathered many, many a storm, and to see actually how it weathered those storms by cutting it open was amazing.
Yeah, so the story behind that, and you can find all of them on our website and just kind of go through the archives, because they're all, and I think that's important, we've talked about that, anyone you can just pick up and just watch. You don't have to watch previous ones. And,
right.
You know, it's just like, oh, I want to know more about lightning, and it's there. But the meeting tree began as this big story that we covered here at News 2 for several weeks, in fact, months. About this huge living oak on Clements Ferry, and it was unfortunately deemed to be cut down because of the road expansion there, and a resident there even holed himself up into a tree for a while, and then it got cut down, and everyone here at the station had really paid attention to it, so we were all just a little bit disheartened. And one of our engineers actually came up to me and he's like, man, it's such a shame that that tree is cut down, and think about all the weather it saw and everything. And I was like, yeah, about that. I'd never done that sort of thing before just reading about it. It's called dendrochronology, the study of time using tree rings. I mean, so looking at those tree rings, you can determine whether or not it was rainy, it was warm in a year, or if there was drought or any significant weather events just by the thickness and number of those rings. And so literally, I called the guy up that was up in the tree and said, hey, I want to tell the story of this tree even further. The meeting tree was always known as a place that these stories could be told around. And now, even though its life as a low country landmark is gone, it's got stories to tell us, and I think you put it, behind that belt of bark. And
right.
So literally, we took a chainsaw. I got to give out shout out to our coworker Chase and her mom. Helped sand it down and everything, because I looked at it and I was like, I cannot see any of these lines on here. And eventually we were able to go through, we were able to find Hugo. And
which I certainly had a great interest in, and just to see how that tree.
And it's crazy, and it's been a giant slab of it. It's about 3 feet big, and
it's heavy.
It's very heavy. I think you took it to one school visit, and you're like, that's too heavy. The kids can just see a picture of it. You know, you can see Hugo and that one event, just by counting back the tree rings, like a lot of people probably have, and you can see 1989 and then a bunch of years very, very thin after that, showing that the tree was, you know, damaged and put into disrepair, and so it didn't grow much in those following years. And that one was a really big, popular one. It's the fun ones that I don't expect and didn't really expect to be so popular, like the cookie one, the Oreo one, explaining winter precipitation. The ones that stick out to me, I think, are the ones that tell a story, because you know, you and I tell the weather, and we always talk about what's the weather story. Because if you can explain that weather story, people are going to remember it. You can say, it's raining today, 60 degrees. But if you say, hey, this is the first rain we've seen in over a month, remember how dry it is? Well, finally this ends. And so telling those stories, because the history of the Lowcountry and the STEM and science and everything else, and especially weather, is so intrinsically linked to the Lowcountry's history. I think telling those stories, whether it's why Ashley Phosphate is called Ashley Phosphate and how that street name ties into why there's so many shark's teeth in the Lowcountry, or why are we talking about beach renourishment and Folly and all of our barrier islands in regards to a location that has lost 700 feet of beachfront in the past 100 years, and that's Botany Bay. Right. Or you go even further down towards Edisto, talk about a community that's no longer there, Eddingsville. It's stories that I think need to be told, and I think can explain a lot what we're currently seeing and what we will see here in changing, you know, environment of the Lowcountry.
And I encourage anybody who's listening to go and check out the Moment of Science page on our website, calon2.com, and you're going to see and hear a lot of cool things that maybe you didn't or did not know. And that kind of, you know, Eddingsville takes us into your producing of some of our weather specials. And David, as far as I remember, we have never been nominated for awards like an Emmy, which in our business is the pinnacle. And we got nominated and for a Hugo special. And unfortunately, we didn't win, but to be nominated in this case was something new for us. We had never gotten that point to that point.
You know, I want to go a little bit, you know, personal on that. That one was incredibly special. You know, that was 2019, so I was only here about a year, and, you know, seeing Hugo, and it was with a 30th anniversary, and especially you being there, I knew how important it was to tell that story.
Right.
Well, and tell the story of everyone, as we put it, the survivors of Hugo, well. And even though, you know, we didn't win, we don't do this for awards. And I think we told the story of Hugo and the stories that night extremely well. You know, I wasn't there and I wasn't here. I wasn't even born yet in 1989. But, you know, I certainly felt like I experienced some of it through going through the hours and hours of video and editing and putting it together. You know, it got emotional. I remember showing you a draft cut of it, and
yeah,
it was rough.
Yeah, yeah, it was something that those of us who lived through it will never forget. But those of us who have seen the video and heard the stories, knowing that in any given year that could happen again. Not the name Hugo, that's been retired, but a storm like that, or even maybe stronger than that.
And, you know, I told you, I was like, this isn't really great for my mental health, because we put it together, I think, in July of 2019, and then a few months later was Dorian, and you're talking about a Category 5 storm, and I just finished putting together the devastation of Hugo, and I'm seeing this, I'm like, this is not good. This is not what a good time and mind space to be in.
And then you mentioned Dorian. That became our next special, part of our next special, Lessons Learned.
Absolutely.
And that was the one that we were also nominated for an Emmy. But this time, David, we took the next step.
We won that. And, you know, I was really proud of this one because essentially it was the COVID project.
Yes.
Essentially, you know, COVID changed everything, and especially in quarantine. And so we were socially distant here at News 2, and, you know, Moment of Science had to be put on hold because I couldn't go out and shoot and couldn't interview people and couldn't tell these stories. And so essentially I was like, you know what, I'm going to take the next month and produce a special that explains past hurricanes and take a very analytical look at that.
Right.
And, you know, take the lessons we learned from the previous hurricanes, whether it's water is the main killer or slower hurricanes are going to become more numerous and more likely.
Like a Dorian.
Exactly. And I don't think ever before on News 2 we have shown so many scientific articles. I could have had a work cited in that, and it would have been pages long. But then we come into the next year, and I think the one that we just finished up this year is very much a companion piece to Lessons Learned. This year's being Our Storms, Our Stories,
right,
where Lessons Learned was very analytical. This one's very left and right brain, where we tell their stories and it's still, you know, the ideas and lessons that we can learn for them, as well as the consequences of these hurricanes, but take more of, you know, an emotional narrative driven, whether it's someone that was in the heart of the Francis Marion Forest during Hugo.
We got to talk to him, and that was quite a story he had to tell.
Whether it was that, or even a storm that, you know, not a lot of people talk about, but it impacts how everyone evacuates. And that was back in 1999, 10 years after
Hurricane
Hugo.
Hurricane Floyd.
We had hundreds of people calling in, leaving messages saying, oh, absolutely, I remember that. Now I'm never leaving. And so taking all of this together, and, you know, I was really proud of that. And we, I think, told a really good story. We were talking just in the weather office the past week, and I don't think coming in 3 years ago, I ever would have expected to know so much about a state I'd never lived in before and didn't grow up in, both in its history, both in its weather, and its people. And, you know, I felt really at home here the past couple of years, and I'm still going to, you know, like I said, just heading up to Columbia. If you guys ever head out to the museum there, be sure to mention my name. Maybe I can give you a tour.
So with that in mind, David, talk about the future. Talk about your ideas for the State Museum. When you you came and you confided in me, you had interviewed, and some of the things you talked about, and one of the things they felt was people had this misconception, it's the Columbia Museum, it's the State Museum in Columbia, but it's a statewide museum, and I think your goal, you said, was to try to get the word out all over the state.
Absolutely. So the State Museum, I had never been to before. In fact, I only been to Columbia a few times before I interviewed there. And so I showed up and it was five floors and just a beautiful museum, a giant observatory, planetarium, and then a historic building at that, the mill house there. And so going in, I was so taken aback. Like, there's so much history, there's so much, you know, the same things I talked about with Moment of Science and these specials. And, you know, it's, I think, a often overlooked sort of museum, because it's, well, just down the road, and a lot of people come into town, into Columbia, to see football games,
right,
or see their kids and everyone else at USC. But it's a state intuition, essentially, and we're hoping to make that more. There's a lot of really exciting things coming down the pipeline with that. It's a Smithsonian affiliate, so you'll see Smithsonian exhibits coming on through. And essentially what my job will be doing is doing essentially what I've done the past couple of years and explaining the resources and explaining these events and exhibits and explaining the stories of the Palmetto State, both the history, the art, and of course the industry and whole port of STEM. Here in the Palmetto State when it comes to the museum. There's a lot of cool exhibits. Haven't even gotten to go through all of them just yet, but I hope to, one, see me on the news maybe sometime soon explaining some of this, and I hope you guys will keep that in mind if you're ever heading up for the day into Columbia. And like I said, this is a state museum, and it's really, I think, a good next step for what I do, especially out of broadcast.
So the Lowcountry hasn't seen the last of David Dixon.
I don't think so. You know, even here at News 2, while they might not be seeing me on a day-to-day basis, I'm still going to be sending them emails saying, like, hey, we got this coming along. And like I said, we're just up the road. We're still going to come and visit. We still got restaurants and the beach to come visit. And of course, you, we're going to grab lunch at some time.
Absolutely. Well, David Dixon, it's been a great conversation, and we can't thank you enough for 3 years of fun, and we've had a great time. You and I have always had a great relationship, and love what you do on TV, love Moment of Science, and a big fan, and we'll continue to be, even though you'll be a couple hours up the road physically. We know your heart, at least part of it, will still be here.
Well, I'm leaving the Storm Team too, and I think leaving the Lowcountry in a good place, and we talked about this with Olivia as well as Grace, which if you're paying attention to this podcast, you've probably already known a lot about them already, and I can't wait for you guys to know more about them and see them in the coming months and hopefully years. And I know they have a lot of great ideas and a lot of great things coming down. But I know this because they have an absolutely fantastic mentor. I mentioned this to you so many times, Rob. The Lowcountry is really blessed to have someone that is so, one, passionate just about weather, but passionate about everyone. This whole thing started this get to know because you're like, there's so many people I want to talk to in the Lowcountry. And, you know, yes, you've talked to politicians, you've talked to people that are pretty prominent, but you've also just talked to everyday people. Right. And they all mention the same thing of, one, how you're an icon, but as a coworker, as a friend, you have done an incredible amount to both shape me and shape the next generation of Storm Team 2 and really everyone throughout the Lowcountry.
Well, David, thank you for those kind words, and we'll always be friends, my friend, and you're always welcome here, and enjoy talking to you on a podcast. Kind of interesting. We usually don't interview each other, but
usually I put together the podcast.
Yeah, just a little known fact. Well, maybe not so little known, but David, I do the podcast. David always produced them. So what you actually heard, the finished product, Mr. David Dixon had his hand right in the middle of it.
So. And now it is Grace. So Grace, this is the time where you start to put in the music.
So we're going to put in the music right now. And again, David Dixon, best of luck, my friend, to you and Rachel. And I know great things are ahead of you, and we're going to miss you here, but we know that the state is going to benefit the museum. We'll see exactly what we've known for 3 years, how important you are and how great you are and creative, and how many wonderful things that you'll put together for them.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay, that's our guest, David Dixon, moving up the road to the South Carolina State Museum, but I don't think we've heard the last of him right here in the Lowcountry. I'm Storm Team 2 Chief Meteorologist Rob Fowler. Until next time, may all your days be sunny.